Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's TAP 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Running Code. Good to see you, Melissa.
It's good to see you.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Good. So we have our first guest today. Pretty special day, I think.
Yes.
And we're getting two for the price of one. We have a second guest, right?
Yes.
Which I know you're absolutely in love with.
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
The second guest, right? So today we have Nicholas Stewart. Nicholas is one of our police officers here in the city of Newport News. So welcome, Nick. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks.
And
for
you brought
me.
Somebody special with you today.
I did. I brought a K-9 PJ with me.
All right, Pete. So everybody's got to know, what's PJ stand for?
Parker Jr.
Yeah, there's a story behind that?
There is. The breeder said that when he was born, he looked just like his father, who was named Parker, so they named him Parker Jr.
Oh, wow, that's phenomenal. Tell us a little. It is cute, isn't it? It's adorable. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Nick Stewart. I grew up in Hampton. Lived there all my life until briefly I went away to James Madison University. And then when I was old enough, as soon as I hit 20 years old, I came back, applied with Hampton Police Department, Newport News Police Department. Fortunately, Newport News called me first, and that's what I went with, and I've been doing that. I got hired in February of 2000, so I've been here just shy of 24 years.
Wow, and how, if I may ask, how did you come to meet Parker, your partner there, or I should say PJ?
PJ, so he is not the first bloodhound I worked. He's actually my third. My first, unfortunately, had some health issues. My second, he also had some health issues. And when he passed, they put it on the Facebook page, and a breeder up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, saw it. And during the memorial service, she actually brought him down and gave him to us.
So was it love at first sight?
It was. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Best partner you've ever had?
Oh, that's tough. One of them.
One of the best partners you've ever had. So you said you mentioned that you went to school in another city?
I did.
And then you came back to Newport News. What kind of attracted you to law enforcement? Why Newport News?
At a very young age, I knew I wanted to be a police officer. I can remember growing up seeing all the Hampton officers, and I was just always kind of in awe. I knew I wanted to do it. When I went away to James Madison University, my first 2 years, I focused on school. And then my third year, I applied and became a police cadet for the University Police Department. I did that for 2 weeks. And I said, no, I have to do the real thing. So I came back, applied, and a few months later, was fortunate enough to be hired.
Wow. And you haven't looked back?
Not at all.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you also come from a family of police officers.
I do, and it's kind of a unique story. I had been on about 8 years when my father told me he wanted to apply.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting being senior to your father, but yeah. It didn't take long before he kind of took the reins, and it seemed like every month he was officer of the month. So
right.
it got to the point where I was asking him questions.
Right, right. And he served as your mentor, really.
He did. Absolutely.
Interesting. My father was in the U.S. Army. He retired from the Army. I was already a police officer, and he joined the Newport News Sheriff's Office. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have that same commonality, if you will.
Right.
Now, are you a fan of dogs yourself? Do you have any?
Absolutely. I do. I have a Belgian Malinois. Mm-hmm. He's about 7 years old,
really?
And he is a handful. So I am all about the dogs. I love the dogs.
Yeah. Is PJ the only dog that, I'm assuming PJ resides with you?
He does.
Is he your only dog?
He is not. Since about 2010, 2011, I've worked two dogs. I started out as a patrol dog handler. And then around the time of 2010, 2011, we had two bloodhounds donated to the department. And they asked if anybody would be interested in working with one. And I said I would. And again, another situation where I never looked back. For a long time, I would always carry the patrol dog, and if I needed the bloodhound, I would go get him. A few years ago, they put a double kennel in the truck that I had, so I was able to carry both of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of things you can do in our agency, right? You know that. I know that.
Right.
Melissa knows that. Why canine? What kind of, why did you gravitate in that kind of direction?
So I've always loved dogs. And when I first got here, it was never really something that I thought I would be able to do. I would see the things that the canine officers would do, and I was like, wow, I don't know if I could ever do that, but it's something that I would like to do. And then in 2008, I was a detective in vice narcotics, and the canine... Well, there you are.
There he is. Hey, buddy.
And the canine spot opened up, so I applied for it, and again, I was fortunate enough to get it. And I've done it ever since 2008.
Now, where did PJ come from, locally or from out of state? How did that happen?
He came from Pittsburgh. When they saw that my previous bloodhound passed, she saw it on the Facebook page and brought him down here.
Wow, what a nice act!
Yep,
that's absolutely awesome. And so, on a daily basis, what does PJ do?
What does PJ do? So the biggest thing we use the bloodhounds for are missing persons, missing adults, missing children. We can do robberies, criminal tracks. The thing with the bloodhounds is they're friendly. So if they come across someone that wants to hurt me or someone else, he's going to want to love on them. We're cautious about that. We do more of those type tracks with the patrol dogs, the German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, but we can do them with the bloodhounds.
And I imagine he's very loyal to you.
He is. Yeah.
So, so your relationship with PJ, is it work handler dog, or is it combination of work handler dog friend? I mean, how's that work?
So I would say more friend than anything.
Okay.
I don't have to do much to get him to work. Any of these dogs, they love to work. It's more of a game to them. And when you start doing certain things, they start recognizing it, and they say, oh, I get to have some fun. So it's not a lot to get him to work.
Wow.
Does he live at home?
He does.
With the Stewart family?
He does. Like I mentioned, I also work a patrol dog, so both dogs come home with me. They're part of the family. They both have kennels in the backyard, and I bring them in at night. They have their own little crates that they go into, and it's funny, dogs tell time. They know when it's time to eat. You'll hear them in the backyard when it's time to eat, you'll start hearing them. But then when you bring them in, you don't hear a peep out of them till the next day.
Wow. Really?
Yep. Wow. Not a sound.
Now, what is the family dynamic like with the two, dogs at home with you guys? What's that like?
Both dogs are great with the family. And that was important to me. I did not want a dog that I had to worry about. And I've been fortunate with both of my dogs that, they're great with the kids, great with my wife. I don't worry about it at all.
Now, how is she with people that she doesn't know, or how is he with people he does not know?
He loves people. As long as they're not doing something that looks suspicious, he looks forward to seeing people. So he's always loved being around people.
Wow.
Can you think of any really good calls or really influential calls that you and PJ have responded to? Can you tell us a little bit about maybe one or two?
Yeah, so one that I'm most proud of, I got a call. They had a missing elderly person that had left from a group home. He had been gone for 72 hours before the caretaker called. I start the track. We were in the area of Briarfield Road. We tracked all the way down to near 50th Street, and there's a little house in the area, and he kind of turned the corner. He went up to the door, and he sniffed it, and we've trained him to jump up on doors when they identify it, but he didn't do that. He kind of sniffed it. He went to the side of the house, came back to the door, and then he went around to the back of the house. He just wouldn't leave the house. So it was enough for me to look at the officer that was with me and say, hey, can you knock on that door? And they knocked on the door, and sure enough, the guy we were looking for was the one that answered the door.
Wow.
So that was one of my favorite cases. There was another case where we had a missing juvenile. We were tracking through the woods, and I'll never forget it. As we're going through, PJ darts around a tree where I can't see him. And I come around the corner, and the juvenile is sitting on the ground, and PJ is in her lap. That was probably one of my favorite cases. You never forget that. I mean, he was just sitting in her lap.
Wow, that's amazing. So I'm assuming there's a lot of training PJ has to do before he was certified.
There is. There's a lot of training. You start off before you even certify. We'll do months of training. But training never stops. Twice a month, I'm assigned to South Precinct Watch 2. I'm a patrol officer. Twice a month, I come off the street and we'll train all day long. So it's continuous.
Wow. And he rides in the car with you. Yeah.
He does.
There's a special kennel inside the car.
Yes. All of our, canine vehicles are fitted with, inserts, the kennels. So they have the, we have Ford Explorers now is what we're driving. They take that back seat out and the insert goes in there and they have that whole area.
What's your favorite part about working with PJ?
Favorite part about working with PJ? He's a goofball. every day he's doing something that makes me laugh. One of my favorite things that he does is, and I learned this very early on, I told you he sleeps in a crate at night. And I would start hearing it. I would think he was scratching and I would look and he's laying on his side and he does this almost every night. He's laying on his side and he is pulling his ear over his eye. He wants his eye covered to go to sleep. So and he does that almost every, I mean, he's every day it's something new with him.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. I imagine that it takes a special person to work with the dog in the canine unit.
Yeah, it's obviously you want somebody that has a natural affection for dogs. And you want somebody that's going to take it seriously, especially with the patrol dogs, because of the things that they're trained to do. You want a very obedient dog. And then with the bloodhounds, it's, you know, to me, that's one of the most important cases is you have a missing person that could be in danger. I take that very seriously.
It's got to be rewarding also, I imagine.
It is, especially when you, you know, in the days of cell phones, when a lot of people can call for rides and get picked up, you don't have a whole lot of fines. So when you do, it's very rewarding. But the biggest thing, a lot of times, you'll find evidence or you'll find a lot of times if I'm doing a track, I can hear the officers with me noting where cameras are. They can go back and they can look at the cameras and say, yes, he was here. So it not just finding people, there's other things that you find along the tracks.
Right. Now, Melissa, obviously you're a lieutenant now, but did it ever cross your mind maybe entering into that world of canine handling? Did you ever contemplate that?
Absolutely not. I don't think there would be any circumstance in which I would be able to keep up with the dog.
Yeah.
So these guys are very much so in shape and trained to keep up with those dogs, and that would never be my life. But my hats are off to you guys. I've always loved being that patrol officer out on the street that gets to work with the dog. That position is always fun to get to do.
And that dog has some pull to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, when we're done, I'm not going to be tired. He's pulling me. So you guys are going to be tired. I'm not.
Yeah, yeah. And just out of curiosity, what is his feed? Because you mentioned feeding him. What does that look like? Because PJ, with all due respect, is a large dog. Mm-hmm. What does he eat every day?
So we feed him. We feed all of our dogs Pro Plan Sport. That you can buy it at any of your local pet stores. Nothing too special.
Healthy appetite?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like he knows when it's time to eat.
Yeah, yeah. So when is there ever an occasion where you're out and about and PJ is at home just lounging around, or can you leave him alone, or does he constantly need somebody with him? How's that work?
So there are times where I take the patrol dog with me and he's at home, or vice versa.
Okay.
If the family's not there, we have the kennel in the backyard that we can keep him in. And like I mentioned before, I can have him in the crate in the house.
Okay. What I'm sure people are watching wanting to know, what kind of training does a canine officer have to have? Is it pretty extensive?
So you start out with an initial school. Like for me, for instance, I started out as a patrol dog handler. So I was fortunate enough that my first dog came fully trained. So the school was just more of teaching me, learning how to read the dog. So you go about, it's about a 3-month school.
Wow.
And then, like I mentioned before, it's continuous. You never stop training.
Right. Now, Melissa, you are on the road now as a lieutenant. He's a rock star. Nick, he's a rock star.
I
look at him.
I absolutely love him. He is so sweet.
You okay, Captain Morgan?
You all right?
Yeah,
don't,
I'm good.
Don't,
I'm
don't
good.
Move. Sure. Don't move. Sorry. You're good. He's not going to. Wait, look, we're going to. We have to explore that. What's going on with you right now? What's happening?
So I'm going to be truthful. I have a little. Dogs and I. You know, I have a little fear of dogs. That's the truth. Let me just get to the point. I have a healthy respect for dogs, but I do have a little fear. I've had a dog before, but we've raised them from. We raised her from being a puppy, but other than that, I admire dogs from afar. You know, all the respect in the world. But obviously, he's a very loving dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I guess as a road lieutenant, my point was that you rely heavily on canine. Do you not on the road?
Absolutely. Our major incidents, that's one of the first boxes that we like to check is there any way we can incorporate one of our patrol or one of our search dogs into a call for service? And they know they get the phone calls asking if they can come and help mm-hmm. us out all the time. So, right.
So are there,
absolutely.
Are there times where you're awakened in the middle of the night to come out and help out?
It just happened the other day. it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I got called for a missing person.
Wow.
So it's actually pretty common. Wow. My normal shift is 3 p.m. to midnight. But it's pretty common to get called late at night.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that when PJ puts his paws on the table, there's some noise to it.
I mean,
this guy's got quite, yeah.
He does have some claws. His kennel out back is concrete, so that helps keep him a little shorter. But I tell you, when he jumps up on you, you feel him.
You feel him. Yeah. Wow. I hate to do this, but how are we doing on time there, Kelly? Kelly's our producer. How are we doing on time?
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to needing to wrap it up a little bit.
Okay.
Dog story with TJ.
Oh, dude, did you want to tell us a little story?
Are we still on? The episode's not over yet?
Episode's not over yet.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell the story.
You want me to key that up for you?
Why don't we do that and then maybe do our little rapid fire with officers?
Yeah, let's do rapid fire. Shall I?
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's get it out in the open. So when I was a young officer, I got dispatched to a call where a lady was, there was a dog that was attacking, whatever the word that came over the radio, a woman. So I got to the scene, and sure enough, this dog was not physically attacking the dog, but it had the lady pretty much cornered, and she was very scared. It was very obvious. So I had a very, very healthy respect for dogs that bordered on extreme fear. But I knew that I had to get out and I had to do something. I have a duty to act, right? I can't sit in my car. So I got out of the car. I withdrew my PR-24, which, if you remember, was the baton that had a handle on it, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I figured I can get this dog back, you know, away from the lady. I could put myself between her and the dog. So I did that, and I was swinging my PR. Now, I never struck the dog. The dog was might have been a boxer because it bobbed and weaved. Now, it did really well. So I backed the dog up, and I noticed that there was a telephone booth. If you remember, because you've been on a while, they actually had the physical telephone booths.
Right.
So what I figured is if I could back the dog up enough, we can scoot into the telephone booth, we could close the door, and we'd be safe. But what ended up happening is, I was working, Nick, that baton back and forth. I was in great shape back then, humbly speaking. But I mean, I was wearing myself down pretty good. We got into the telephone booth. I closed the door, and all the glass was broken out of the door. So now the dog could get in. And if the dog got in, we'd all three be in the booth. So now I tried to back out of the booth. And then eventually the lady ran. It was me and the dog. And so we're at a standoff, and my sergeant shows up, and I was just really happy to see him, gets out of the car, yells at the dog to get the dog's attention, calls the dog over, and the dog goes over to him and he makes him sit down.
Wow.
After all that work I did for nothing, for absolutely nothing.
Maybe you wore him down.
He wore me down. It's more let the truth be known. So I think we're coming to that episode where we're going to do the rapid five. So we got a couple of questions to ask you before we head on out. And Melissa and I will go back and forth. All right. You got a few seconds to think about it, but we're looking for that spontaneous answer. You ready? All right, here we go. Question number one. Sedan, van, SUV, or sports car?
SUV.
SUV? Yeah.
I'm a truck guy, so I'd have to go with an SUV.
Really?
Yeah.
Same.
I'm a van guy. Love vans.
Really?
Oh, man, I love practical, right? You open you can have the one with the door on both sides. It slides open. You can get in and out. You could put your friends in it. I'm a van guy.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Yep.
Run, swim, cycle, or weights?
Weights. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I thinking? I remember running into you in the gym all the time. Yeah. So
we used to see each other all the time in the various gyms that we've belonged to through the years, right? Yep. Yeah. All right, here we go. Jeans, slacks, sweatpants, or shorts?
Shorts.
Even in the winter?
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. Most of the time I'm wearing gym gear. So
High comfort.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Train, plane, automobile, cruise ship.
Ooh. Automobile.
It was the cruise ship part for me.
Really?
You took me there.
I've never been.
They're fun. I love to drive, though.
Yeah. I do, too, because I can stop whenever I want.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I'm in control of that car. So, all right, question number five. Here we go. Spring, summer, fall, or winter, and why?
Spring. It's not too hot, not too cold.
Perfect
weather.
Doesn't
get better than that.
All right, Melissa, you got anything for us?
No, thank you so much for bringing the dog with you and for you coming and spending some time with us.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, you're a tip-top guy, Nick. Always had all the respect in the world for you. Thank you for coming on our second episode. Really, this is the beginning of Running Code. So, and thanks to all the folks who watch us. We really appreciate it. And I think there's a like button on the bottom, right, Kel, that they can push if they want to subscribe or something like that?
Right.
Does that sound good?
You want them to subscribe, yeah.
All right. Well, on behalf of Melissa and I and Nick and, of course, PJ, thanks for watching. Take care. Be safe. Cheers.
See you guys next time.
Unit 38, this is 10-1, attack 36. Copy, Isaac.